We're talking about marijuana legalization in states bordering Wisconsin. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Illinois' governor signed legislation last month, making it the 11th state in the nation to legalize recreational marijuana. Michigan is 4 months away from licensing recreational marijuana businesses. Minnesota lawmakers approved a medical marijuana option in 2014, but has not legalized it for recreational use. So what does this all mean for Wisconsinites who are separated by just a state border? Do you have plans to visit Illinois to buy recreational marijuana next year? We're at 800-642-1234 for you to join in. Paloma Kennedy is an associate attorney at Reinhart Berner Van Duren in Milwaukee, where she focuses on corporate law. She has expertise on Wisconsin laws governing cannabis and CBD products, and she represents cannabis-related businesses and entrepreneurs. Paloma, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much.
So recreational marijuana can legally be bought, sold, possessed, and consumed in Illinois starting January 1. What kind of economic impact could this have on Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of potential economic impacts. Namely, one of the things that would, I think, be the largest concern moving forward and initially is that Wisconsin already has a shortage in workers. And we're seeing kind of this mass exodus of what I would consider, 25 to 54 in terms of age, leaving the state and not working here. And so with that shortage already being an issue in the state of Wisconsin, I think one of the biggest concerns for Wisconsin as soon as legalization occurs and business permits start to be rolled out in Illinois is what type of workforce will we lose down to Illinois in addition to potentially losing, newfound business in the cannabis industry in general from Wisconsin residents.
Oh, because you see an industry there rising up in Illinois that will attract people away from Wisconsin to that industry in Illinois?
Absolutely.
And you don't have to grow or sell marijuana to make money from it. You can provide equipment for growers. There is a lot of the supported industries growing up around it. What kind of attraction might Illinois have for those entrepreneurs and business owners?
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely ways to participate in the cannabis industry that isn't directly related to growing or manufacturing the product itself. And as a result, I think one of the biggest questions we'll have is, as Wisconsin residents have been waiting for Wisconsin to legalize recreational marijuana here in our state, everyone that has been in this industry already through CBD or from outside state pilot programs, I think the biggest question will be, when everyone has been expecting the gold rush to occur here in Wisconsin in terms of new entrepreneurial business opportunities, what will happen as soon as those opportunities are literally just a state away, especially for a lot of the individuals in Wisconsin that live just over the border? So where we might have had business opportunities here in Wisconsin just waiting to occur, what percentage of Wisconsin residents will already start those businesses and have them be in Illinois instead?
And what are the legal implications for businesses here in Wisconsin that may have an offshoot, a very applicable offshoot in recreational marijuana in Illinois?
Yeah, I think it gets really complicated. There are definitely tax implications in terms of, having to figure out, one, how to have a business that is legal in Illinois, but then cannot be really worked at all here in Wisconsin. I think that there should be some, advice given to individuals here in Wisconsin that decide to start a business either wholly in Illinois or from the Wisconsin border and then have an offshoot of a business that's doing a registered business in Illinois, doing business down there, is that, a lot of that business will have to be done wholly in the state of Illinois, and individuals who live and work largely in Wisconsin will have to make sure that none of the business that's technically illegal gets, kind of flooded back into Wisconsin on accident.
Mm. Talking about our border states to Wisconsin that have legalized marijuana use, Michigan and Illinois, recreational marijuana industry, they're forming. We're finding out what that means to Wisconsin. with Milwaukee attorney Paloma Kennedy as our guide. She represents cannabis-related businesses and entrepreneurs. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Will you cross the border and perhaps open a business or pursue recreational marijuana after January 1 in Illinois? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Kevin now, joining us from Florence. Hi, Kevin.
Hello. Yes, I told Gail and answered the phone that don't forget about the UP of Michigan, because they've already had a shop about just a half mile over the state line from Florence, and but they had to close this past week due to the whole thing about being the licensing and regulations and everything that they're supposed to have straightened out later in the year.
Kevin, thanks so much for the call. And Kevin is saying, look, you know, recreational marijuana in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan is forming, that industry is forming there as well, as they're 4 months away. Is that right, Paloma?
Yeah, the in terms of recreational marijuana kind of getting a fast track from neighboring states, Wisconsin is going to be kind of a late to the game player in terms of everyone around us that's a neighboring state either already having medical marijuana and then moving towards recreational marijuana legalization, or already in the process of having legalized the recreational use side and just moving more towards getting permits out and starting the entire process of having cannabis grown right there in their state.
Do we know of any workforce trends? Is there traction in the workforce that there are a lot of jobs in the cannabis industry? What does that look like?
So the new legislation just passed by Illinois actually gives credence to individuals who fall under a specific category where they've either been affected by incarceration or some sort of criminal background related to marijuana, or fall under a minority or women-owned business category. And for those individuals, they can actually have special licenses granted to them in Illinois. And part of that is the application is that they have to have a certain number of workers. So there's definitely going to be a push for these applicants. And I believe, if I'm remembering correctly from reading the legislation, it was at least 10 workers. For that individual at that facility. So, you know, let's just imagine, you know, a number of applicants that are coming in, and each applicant has to have 10 workers in addition to those that are starting the business. You know, that could really have a major effect on how many people from Wisconsin end up getting a job in Illinois and crossing over the border every day instead of keeping them here in our own state.
What does this mean for law enforcement based on what we saw happen in Colorado when Colorado legalized recreational marijuana?
I think we're going to have a lot of the same issues. After Colorado legalized marijuana, they actually created a report showing kind of what was happening to the marijuana that had been legally grown in the state and then, you know, supposedly kept within state borders. And one of the issues was that there was an increase in trafficking. So a lot of the neighboring states to Colorado saw an increase in the amount of what was technically recreational marijuana grown and sold in Colorado being driven across state lines and then having it trafficked across the United States. And this was both at, you know, what I would consider pirate grows, which was kind of the term used in Colorado, where individuals were, you know, shirking the tax because it was really high in Colorado, and pretty much continuing illegal growth without a permit, and then having those kind of trickle through into more organized criminal groups.
Let's take another call now with Mike joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hey there. So I wonder if this whole discussion should kind of be, you know, like tempered by the fact that the federal government still has a prohibition on marijuana across the entire country. And so technically, there's not any legal marijuana industry anywhere across the country. It's part of the reason why growers in Colorado are having difficulty depositing their money, because they can't just take it into banks, because it falls into a whole different category. And the federal government could come and shut this whole thing down at any time.
Mike, thanks for the call. Paloma, what do we know about federal oversight?
At this point, the federal government has really taken a hands-off approach. But he's absolutely correct. I mean, if they decided at any point to come in and decide that they were no longer going to allow some of the actions that are being taken at the state level, they could come in and take more of an enforcement approach, which they have threatened to do in terms of Colorado having a lot of illegal growth operations. But in terms of allowing states to create their own laws, you know, that's part of the whole division of power in our country. The states are allowed to kind of separate themselves from federal government. It doesn't stop the fact that our federal laws do make it illegal, and he's absolutely right. You know, I think a lot of businesses have had struggles with how to have the revenue come in, and then how, one, to deposit that money because it's in cash form, and two, how to pay taxes, which has been a continuing issue in Colorado for a lot of those businesses.
And speaking of taxes, tax dollars, will we see an uptick of the number of police patrolling the state border for people bringing in marijuana from Illinois?
I think it'll kind of be a no-brainer for Wisconsin in terms of having to maybe provide greater law enforcement. It was one of the solutions that neighboring states and Colorado itself ended up taking up in order to try and reduce the amount of trafficking. Granted, the laws surrounding search and seizure are very complicated, and so I'm not quite sure how those law enforcement in Colorado and the neighboring states decided to, you know, in terms of enforcement, find out and or pull over individuals to try and stop the trafficking. But I'm assuming that those law enforcement individuals in the state and outside the state had worked together.
Talking with Milwaukee attorney Paloma Kennedy. She stays with us. She represents cannabis-related businesses. Your thoughts as well, 800-642-1234. What do you think this means for the way Wisconsin polices and regulates marijuana? How do you want to see Wisconsin lawmakers think about marijuana? Will you cross state lines or start a business just across the border? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Back in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. Talking about marijuana being legalized in 3 out of the 4 states that surround Wisconsin and what that means for our residents. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. 11 states have legalized marijuana for recreational purposes, Illinois being the latest. And a new jobs report by a marijuana information site called Leafly estimates that there are 211,000 marijuana-related jobs in our country, and that number is growing. It refers to the industry's growth as America's hidden job boom. Do you plan to start a business in Illinois or move across state lines because of recreational marijuana being legalized? Are you hopeful that Wisconsin will take steps to legalize it? We're at 800-642-1234. Milwaukee attorney Paloma Kennedy is our guide, and she represents cannabis-related businesses. Let's go back to the phones now with Trish joining us from Nina. Hi, Trish.
Good morning. I was just wondering, and I realize this is maybe somewhat peripheral, but how does the legalization of the use of marijuana potentially affect those who have been incarcerated because of their use of it and possession of it at the time when this was an illegal thing?
Great question, Trish. Paloma, what insights do we have there on incarceration?
Each state has handled previous incarceration and or criminal history related to possession in different ways. In Illinois, it's going to be the broadest in terms of how they've been able to pass through legislation a way for individuals to have that history completely expunged. So Illinois is going to definitely be the broadest until other states come into play, and then we'll know whether they still remain the broadest. It has, in its legislation, put that if anyone has been convicted of possession of 30 grams or less, that would be automatically expunged without having to do anything. And then anything 30 to 500 grams would have to require a petition, but that would also be expunged as well.
Governor Evers has called for legalizing medical marijuana and decriminalizing possession of small amounts. What does support among lawmakers currently look like here in Wisconsin?
It's definitely a rocky road. There's been a lot of push throughout the years to try and legalize marijuana here in Wisconsin, but we really just haven't been able to get there from a policymaking perspective. Back in 2018, we had a couple of referendums that were put out for voting. Those actually passed with popular votes here in Wisconsin. So there is support from our citizenship. It's just a matter of having the individuals at the top help push it forward.
Let's take another call now. Tom joining us from Port Wing. Tom, hi.
Good morning. I would like to say two things real quick. One, in a country swimming in alcohol, opiate, and prescription drug abuse, the thought of now legalizing another drug is just absolutely absurd. And as far as workers fleeing the state to jobs in adjoining states in the marijuana industry, I think that's a categorically false idea. And I really don't think that there are enough workers that are going to be in the marijuana industry that's really going to substantially dent the workers in Wisconsin.
Tom, thanks for the call. Starting with the first half of his thoughts there, are there other drug issues in our country coming up as states weigh the future of marijuana, Paloma?
I definitely think having another type of substance legalized in states, and especially here in Wisconsin, potentially in the future, could be an issue. I mean, Wisconsin has already struggled with drunk driving. You know, impaired driving from other substances continues to be an issue, even in states where it's not legal. So obviously this will remain at the forefront.
Let's take another call. Joe joining us from Pleasant Prairie with thoughts on this. Joe, hi.
Hi.
What are you thinking about marijuana and our border states?
Oh, you were talking about jobs and things that are happening in the state of Illinois, right next to Wisconsin. And I'm an entrepreneur, and I've started a company. I've been in business before in Wisconsin. I raised $5 million to move my medical production equipment company to the state of Illinois. So in addition to actually moving the company, there will be about 20 employees from Wisconsin that will be moving their jobs there as well.
So you have a plan in place to move your manufacturing company to Illinois as Illinois ramps up for recreational use?
Yes.
And so what is your timeline for opening up in Illinois?
Started in process already. We already raised the funds. We've got state support. We've got local tax support. We're ready to go. We're actually in the process of planning.
What do you see promising about this industry from a business standpoint?
Interestingly enough, it's similar to the pharmaceutical manufacturing arena when you talk about medical marijuana and things like that. So it's a nice offshoot from what's been standard in the industry for numbers of years in the pharmaceutical arena. This is actually mimics it, so it brings a lot more opportunities for manufacturing and production, sales, retail, everything.
Paloma, he's drawing parallels there to what has happened in the pharmaceutical industry. What do you see?
I definitely think that there is, you know, potential and great opportunity here to tie in the cannabis industry to what has been occurring in the pharmaceutical realm, just from the perspective that the two are kind of getting tied together, just from the perspective that a lot of individuals have started to associate recreational marijuana as well as CBD products, both with THC content and without, as having medicinal qualities. And so you're seeing a lot of CBD products pop up throughout the United States in mainstream stores and also mom and pop owned shops, you know, locally owned, small independent stores. And a lot of individuals are starting to adopt using CBD and also recreational marijuana to kind of curb their own medical issues without really seeking medical advice. And so there's a lot of parallels that can be drawn between the two industries because it is health related. I think Joe makes a really good point in terms of, I believe an earlier caller was discussing how There is not really a potential to have an impact on workforce here in Wisconsin. In addition to potentially drawing people away from Wisconsin, there is a potential to draw away entrepreneurship from Wisconsin that would normally be here and be starting businesses right on our home turf. In addition, a lot of individuals could be raising money from the state of Wisconsin and potential investors here in our state and then taking that money out of our state. So the whole point of economic development here in Wisconsin is to really help self-fund us. And if people are raising money and taking it across the state line, it is completely to the detriment of our own internal plan for economic growth.
Let's try to squeeze in one more call here. Ryan in Eau Claire. Hi, Ryan.
Hello. Just wanted to say I'm with the one of the last callers here that says we have already so many epidemics and we tend to race into things way too quick. We don't look at the impacts it's had on other states close enough. The other thing is the money it brings in. I mean, our government already funds so many support groups for other addictions already, and now we just add another one to it. So
Ryan's,
you know,
saying,
bring in money,
yeah,
but do we really look at the impact that it has negatively before we just race into it like a little kid?
Ryan's saying, yeah, another layer here, Paloma, that we've ramped up too quickly on this industry, and just have a bit of time left for your final thoughts. What are you watching for? Where is this headed?
I think that this is obviously a complicated landscape for every state that endeavors to enter into legalizing recreational marijuana. Obviously, there's a big push here to increase tax revenue. I think that any state that is headed towards legalization, obviously has a late entry advantage here because Colorado has really gone through a lot of the ups and downs, the bumps, to kind of work out what has and hasn't in terms of, you know, what in the legislation needed to be changed, how can enforcement be modified. There's a lot going on in terms that continues in terms of quality of production. You know, we're finding out that a lot of the plants that are being grown have pesticides and other sorts of issues with the product itself, and none of it's being governed because the FDA isn't really involved. And so it'll continue to evolve, and I think it'll continue to be complicated as we move forward.
Paloma, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Paloma Kennedy is an associate attorney at Reinhardt Berner Van Duren in Milwaukee. She represents cannabis-related businesses and entrepreneurs. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.